For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are live. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am one of your hosts, Blake Ruffino. Alongside me is my co-host, Joe DeLeon. Good evening, good sir.
Blake, I've got a very strong feeling that you and I are not going to agree very much on our defensive coordinator lists. If Monday's show was an indicator that we're about to argue, I think that you and I are not going to get along today.
I mean, there's really only one guy that we... And I don't really think that your list is bad. Are you actually?
Really?
Yeah, I don't think your list is bad. I just think it's ill-informed, but it's not bad.
Okay, so there's the word that you're – see, okay. Don't act all friendly in the open, and then that when we come out of the break, you're going to start yelling at me. You're going to start, well, Blake Baker's not in here. That's the first thing that you're going to start telling me. And then
I'm not going to say that.
I don't believe you.
I think you do have Jim Knowles a little too high.
I don't think you have him high enough. I mean, how could you not have – I'm not going to disclose where he is just yet, but their defense has become the most important part of their roster. I mean, it was the reason why they had any success.
Yeah, and when he – and in the last 2 years when it came – again, I'm going to continue to tell you the same thing, the same thing that I told you on Monday – when it comes down to nut cutting time, your defense and your scheme has to make plays. You can't continue to lose. You can't get run over by Michigan. You can't twice, I might add. You can't continue to have those things happen and me to put you above Phil Parker, put you above guys that have had consistently top 15 defenses, and they win the big games. Joe, they're no better. I mean, I got to be, can I be real with you? Statistically speaking, he's no better than Pete Golding. Zero. There's nothing that he's done in the last 5 years that would make me believe that he's better than a Pete Golding. He doesn't recruit better. Statistically, he's not.
No. Okay. They have tremendous talent in there all across
the country. Better than what Pete Golding brought at Bama and better than what Pete Golding just brought in the transfer.
Ohio State's defense going into next year is better than Ole Miss's going into next year. They brought in a lot of good talent, but it's a better unit. It's a better coach unit.
Now, Ole Miss and Ohio State recruiting's not created equally. Did you notice what he just did in the portal?
What, that Knowles or Golding did in the portal?
Golding. By the way, he never.
I noticed. We've talked about it.
Besides last year, as the defensive coordinators had a not top 15 defense. By the way, they jumped up 67 spots, Ole Miss, from last year to this year's defense.
Look,
67. Can you 67?
I
would have said 69. Would have intrigued
you
more?
No, that would not. I'm not 5 years old like you are sometimes with the comments that you make. I would argue, though, that there were numerous occasions last year where Ole Miss's defense wasn't as consistent as Ohio State's was. There's one bad game that I can point to that Ohio State had, was the Michigan game. But that's not even a bad game. They played them close. It was the fact that their offense couldn't move the ball. That was what it came down to. They got outfought. It's not a matter of, you know, defensive struggles. I don't know, man. We'll save the argument for later. I'm just really thrown off by you putting them at five. He at least deserves to be.
How are you going to come out here and say,
all right,
I ain't going to reveal details talking that shit?
I won't reveal anything else.
All right. Speaking of Ohio State, Devin Brown making some waves at Ohio State there, Joe.
Yes. I wanted to talk about this on Monday, and this is something that caught my attention over the weekend. That Devin Brown, who is just assumed to be the backup quarterback, apparently has been unbelievable. And there's a number of highlights. And look, I understand that it's spring practices. I think it was Charlie Baker that was the quarterback at Utah a couple years ago who had like
Charlie Baker like, is the NCAA
president. Not Charlie Baker, Charlie Brewer. Who there was a Utah quarterback who was previously at Baylor. And during the spring game, he went like 15 for 15. And then he got beat out halfway through the season and got benched. I don't want to do that bit. I don't want to do the whole it's spring practices and this guy looks amazing. But I find it interesting that Devin Brown has looked as good as he has. And I'm curious on both of our thoughts on how we think he's going to contribute for this team in 2024. If they try to work him in, he said he wasn't going to transfer. Does he maybe have some people reach out to him and try to convince him to leave? I think he'd be a good option for some teams if you could convince him.
I don't want to buy. I'm not buying into it.
He was pretty bad last spring. Like we were talking about how they might not have anybody.
Yeah, I'm not buying. I don't look, Joe. I've learned very quickly in this business when you start hearing massive amounts of stuff in spring camp, a lot of times they don't pan out. What has he been doing? You're going to have to give me details. You're going to have to show me video of him taking that next leap. By the way, who is he doing it against? Is he doing it against the second team, doing it against the first team? What is he doing? And I beg the question, how much does Will Howard have to catch up because he doesn't know the receivers? He's building into this. Joe, the bottom line is he can be doing good, but I just how I am, I don't buy a lot of things out of fall camp when I don't get to see it. And especially when I talked to Ohio State people today and they're telling me, no, we don't get complete full practices like that all the time. Not like other coaches or other media at other places. What do you mean he's doing good? So you're just whispering things. Spare me. You know, like, I mean, maybe he is doing good. Maybe it is he's doing good because of the running game and what they want to do. Now, that could be something that we could touch on, but I'm not buying it. I will say this, okay? I do think that there's something to be said about a guy like him with his comments who said what he said, and I do applaud him for that, for not leaving.
Elk says that he's doing it with the first team. So Elks, I'd like to, if you could provide context, is Will Howard on campus?
Yeah, is he even on campus?
Like, man, I don't.
Not on campus, oh, I'm sure he does look great, Joe. I mean, what are we discussing here?
What does that have to do with anything? If Devin Brown's participating with the first team and he's doing these things in first team reps, it's worth igniting. Again, I prefaced it by saying that I'm not going to go as far as to jump all in and be like, oh my God, he's going to start. He's going to be an all Big Ten player. No, I'm not going to do that, but I find it interesting. A guy who was a little bit of a lost cause last year, and the reason why they brought in Will Howard and why they're adding competition to the room and why they forced, holy crap, why am I blanking on the name of the last quarterback?
Syracuse. Oh my God. Kyle McCord,
Jesus Christ. I woke up at 5 this morning.
You threw me for a loop there, Joseph.
I'm hanging on by a thread here. I think that it's just interesting that all of the sudden his name is getting brought up, which is why I think we should talk. It's a good discussion for us to have at the end of the show.
We'll have that because I'm sure we'll talk about these defensive coordinators for a while. All right. We have no time to waste. If the OC shows anything, we better get to a break and start debating here. Let's talk about our good friends over at BetOnline.ag. Guys, March Madness is continuing. You need to go over to BetOnline.ag today. Place your bets. Are you like me? Are you like Joe? Do you want NC State to take the whole thing? Go over to BetOnline and bet it. You can do that here today. Use that promo code BLEAV50. That's BLEAV50, BLEAV50. To receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit, betonline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, let's talk about let's get to a quick break. We're back next to talk top five DCs in the country. Stay with us. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to wager on all of your favorite sports, contests, events with the first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews for all the news for each league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, college sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports information for live, in-game betting, props, and futures. Head on over to BetOnline today and use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BELIEVE50, B-L-E-A-V, 50, to receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag.
We're back! All right.
So, Joe, on Monday, we talked about the top five offensive coordinators in the country. Got a lot of buzz off of it. Today, we will do our top five defensive coordinators. We started off with you. We'll go youngest to oldest here. I'll let you bring up your list. Who do you believe is the top five defensive coordinators in the country?
So, let's throw up the where am I, Carl? My top five that I've got for my top defensive coordinators in college football. Number one, Phil Parker from Iowa. Number two, Jim Knowles from Ohio State. Number three, DeAnton Lynn from USC, previously at UCLA. Number four, Pete Golding at Ole Miss. And then number five, Adam Fuller at Florida State.
All right, let's do this. My bad.
You're good.
Let's do this. Let's get Phil Parker out of the way really quickly. Now, the school that I cover on a daily basis in Iowa have not had a really good week of fandom between one another, as they have been absolutely chaotic. But I'm going to set that aside for a second to talk about arguably and probably the best defensive coordinator in the country. Joe, we did this last year. Phil Parker was number one on our list. He remains number one on our list. I think for me, Joe, it's the offensive ineptitude that's happened there, and they've continued to win. Joe, I'm going to give you a hot take. I don't think we're going to have them at one next year, because you do have more teams coming into the conference. I do think that things are going to get even tougher for them moving forward. And with that being said, I think that they're in a little bit of trouble. The Iowa that we used to know, okay, in the Big Ten, because there's no more divisions, because they're going to have to play other opponents and tougher opponents, Joe, they're in trouble. And I do think that Phil Parker, while they'll be good, they won't be good enough, because at some point when you're that – and it's not necessarily going to be on him. They're defensively, I still think that they'll be okay and fine. The problem is when you can't score and you put that much on a defense, I think that they have we're looking at a team in Iowa that is going to really go through a gauntlet here in the next couple of years. Even though I believe that Phil Parker is the best right now, he's remained the best for us in the last 2 years, things aren't going to be easy anymore. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. You're about to start playing in a real top-tier conference with these other teams coming in. So, look, they were in arguably the weakest division, I'm not going to say in sport, but the division they were in was pretty weak the last couple of years. Wisconsin was down. Who is Rutgers? I mean, like, what are we discussing here? Nebraska. So I just look at them and say, Joe, for me, I still think he's really great. I think they recruit and develop really great. It's not going to matter now that you have new teams coming into the Big Ten.
I mean, I think that your take on Iowa should be separate from the take that you have on Phil Parker, because – yeah, their future outlook is completely up in the air, because it's not just going to be a week-to-week knock around against Minnesota, okay, well, and against Illinois and these crappy teams.
Okay. Let me rephrase what I'm saying then. I don't think he's going to get away with playing bad teams every week, and he's going to get a little bit exposed.
I don't think he's going to get exposed. I think that Phil Parker has proven over how long he's been a defensive coordinator at Iowa that even without premier talent, he is still able to coach a really good defense. I think the perfect example is the Big Ten championship game. Their offense was dog shit. There was no expectation that their offense was going to really do anything. That is a separate joke that we've spent plenty of time laughing about. But the way that they were able to make Michigan look more human than most of the other opponents that they saw, I think is pretty notable. And if I remember correctly, I don't think Cooper DeJean was like really fully healthy and available for that game. So for him to find success with a bunch of nobodies outside of Cooper DeJean, nobodies there's no first round premier talent coming out of that team.
He had a first round defense pick last year in Van Ness.
Okay, he puts out one first round pick because he's a really good defensive coach. How many times do we see multiple defensive first round picks from the best defenses in the country every single year? Whenever LSU is the best defense, they'll put out multiple guys. Whenever Alabama has the best defense, heck, this year they're about to put three guys into the NFL in the first round with two DBs and Dallas Turner that were first round picks. And we talked about last offseason how bad Kevin Steele was. All I'm trying to say is that he has had one premier player and then he has had nothing to work with. He has consistently been, just from a schematic standpoint, one of the most disruptive and difficult to keep up with defensive coordinators in college football. And I don't think that's going to change until he retires. They're going to stagnate because their offense is going to be mediocre and they're going to have to play harder opponents. But I still don't think that their defense is going to shift very much.
When you have to play teams like Washington, Ohio State, and you're going to have to start playing others, you're going to get exposed. Because, Joe, after a long season, you don't think Ohio State, Washington, UCLA, those teams that are going to be able to score on them, that they're not going to get exposed?
I think the inverse is the reality here, that teams like Washington and Oregon that have had such easy offensive proficiency playing against good-ish defenses are suddenly going to be challenged by a defense like this.
If they can't score on Nebraska last year, do you?
That has nothing to do with their defense. We're talking about their defense.
It does. See, here's the problem that I have when we have these kind of debates. Oh, their offense has nothing to do with their defense. It's a team game.
It didn't matter last year.
Can I tell you why it mattered last year?
Statistically, the
defense kept them in the game versus Michigan. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what ultimately happened? They could not move the football, and then later on got exposed by a very faulty J.J. McCarthy.
Despite being on the field most of the game, their defense still consistently stays stout and strong. But why did you put him at number one if this is what you think?
Because what he has done. My take could be wrong. I could be 1,000% wrong on what happens. I'm going based off of what happened and has happened the last couple of years. I agree with everything that you said. I think they've been stout. I think he's developed lowly talent. I think he's putting in first round picks that we had no idea. He's going to put in the first white corner that we've seen in the first round maybe ever. Okay, I agree with you there. I'm just not buying the Iowa stock right now because at some point, that's going to fall. I'm telling you, with these new teams, it's going to fall. When you can't score and your defense is on the field every single week and they're having to keep you in the game, now, Joe, the opponents get tougher, right? Like, it's like me saying, okay, imagine being in the SEC East before Georgia became Georgia and playing in the SEC West. There was a reason why Jim McElwain's Florida kept getting to the SEC championship game. Want to know why? Because the division that they were in sucked. He doesn't have that excuse anymore when he's going to have to play teams that have dudes like Washington or like Ohio State.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is the worst argument you've had on the show. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but like, this is one of the worst arguments you've had on this show. We're talking about a defensive coordinator who is a great defensive coordinator.
On the field longer because your offense of ineptitude is not good enough.
They've already been doing that. They're going to be against fine.
Against whom?
Against Michigan when they've had to play Michigan.
Season against whom?
Against the Big Ten. It's obviously that they're playing lesser, weaker opponents. But thank I don't you. Think just throwing in having to play Washington or Oregon once a season is suddenly going to make things harder. I fully believe that teams like UCLA and USC and Oregon are going to have a lot of offensive troubles when they have to play Iowa because they're not going to be used to the environment.
Completely disagree.
Can you share your list, by the way, so we can see it?
Here's the actual true list. Phil Parker at one, Glenn Schumann at Georgia number two, Pete Golding at three, Blake Baker at four, Jim Knowles at five. Go ahead. Attack it.
I completely disagree on your placement of Jim Knowles. I really believe that the place that Ohio State was at before he came in was concerning. They were lacking a defensive identity. And if we remember, I think like what sticks in my head is the performance that they had against Oregon. And it was at that 2021 season.
Yeah, remember Joe Moorhead was the OC that year when they went into Oregon.
They got knocked around. And then that was when they made the transition to Knowles and they hired him away from Oklahoma State.
Right.
The identity shift in the way that the defense is now the most important part of the roster, and they're trying to play catch up on offense. The fact that it was such an aggressive shift with an offensive-minded coach, I think one shows me that he is capable of capturing and building an identity. And then I look specifically at the premier talent that they've got on their defensive line and in their secondary. Their defensive line development has been rapid. And there are tons of guys. They're so good, their defensive line, that Michael Hall Jr. was a rotational guy last year. He didn't play every snap, and he is going to be a top 100 pick in the 2024 NFL draft. Tyleek Williams, JT Tuimoloau, that whole group is going to be really good, and it's because of his coaching on the field during games and the way that he helps develop this roster. They have been just tremendously getting better every single year.
What the argument you're really trying to make here is, why do I have Pete Golding ahead of Jim Knowles, correct?
Yeah, I don't hate Pete Golding. I think he's a good defensive coordinator, but that kind of ties in.
Okay, so let me start with this. Pete Golding's never had a defense outside of the top 15, ever, besides last year, ever as a DC. Okay. So then he goes to Ole Miss. Joe, they climb up 67 spots in total defense. 67. 67 in the SEC. So all of a sudden, you turn around a defense that climbs 67 spots, okay? For the technical people out there, okay, they were throughout the season in the top 45 for a lot of it, all right? Look what he did in Alabama. And, Joe, look what he's doing in the transfer portal. Do you not think that that defense is at Ole Miss? At Ole Miss. I do think that Pete Golding, because of where he's been and who he's been with, we overlook him. Alabama fans, what they do, historically what they do, they give a bad distortion on coaches that they don't like. Remember the conversation you and I had about Bill O'Brien. Well, the conversation we had was, what are we talking about? They averaged 40-plus points a game, okay? They were doing things defensively. They missed on some guys that Nick ultimately recruited. Joe, I don't think that – here's the difference that I have with Knowles, okay? I've seen Pete Golding lead a defense with immense amount of talent, okay? Build a defense like he did. By the way, Caleb Downs literally came out during recruiting and said, Pete Golding was the dude recruiting me before he left, okay? It was Nick who ultimately got him there. My point is, we've seen him be the DC and have great play calling during national championship runs. Every time that we have seen Jim, okay, his team has fallen short. And I think that that's fair enough to say that they've fallen short. That's not all on him. Offensively last year, they had issues and kept them in games. But at what point do I look at a guy like Pete Golding who has two or three national titles and now is at Ole Miss, climb them up the ranks that they did, and what he's doing in the transfer portal? Joe, all we could talk about during the offseason when it came to the portal was what Pete Golding was doing at Ole Miss. Joe, there's a potential they're going to be a top 15 defense this year. So if he brings Ole Miss of all places into that status, then what?
Look, here is the only thing. And he was on my list. And just to remind everybody, he was number four and he is number three on yours. So there's really not much separation here
between you and I. But the conversation that we're having is between Jim Knowles and Pete Golding, correct?
I'm not going to be one of those people, because I think there's a lot of folks that cover college football that clown on Pete Golding and think that he's not as good as he actually is. His results that he's already had, and you talked about that jump in production defensively, it's massive. They have taken a huge step forward, and they're going to take another step forward. But I have trouble placing him ahead of Jim Knowles when last year there were three just black eye games that I can't get over, where they gave up 49 points to Jaden Daniels, and I know that's the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and LSU had all those guys. They gave up 35 points to Texas A&M, and they gave up 52 to Georgia. I understand that those are two of those games are extremely potent offenses, and there's a lot more of a story that can be told with how those games played out. But you can't just shit your pants and disappear.
Those games are created equally, and you know it, because Lane goes for it on fourth down at his own 25, and he turns the ball over, and he's got 25 yards to work. We know that that happened against Georgia three times, Joe.
Okay, but that's 52 points. We're not talking about 35. We're talking about 52
points. But it's 21 points, and you're talking about Georgia. But, Joe, what you're going to have to do is justify to me how they climbed up 67 spots.
I just said that aspect of his progression is impressive, but I'm just reiterating the fact that his slate last – for me to be right in the top three, you need to have – like a really good season, like an almost unscathed season.
I think climbing
season
up 67 spots is more than amazing.
Joe, I think it's amazing, but he's still the results in some of these games. I remember these games, the way that they played defensively against LSU was pretty
first year. Hold on. Jim Knowles' first year at Ohio State, what happened against Michigan in the second half?
So you're picking one game?
The best team that he played, Joe, and you know that the Big Ten and teams like Michigan and Ohio State don't.
Max Johnson scoring 35 points on where was Max Johnson even the quarterback for Texas A&M that game?
I don't remember. I think he got hurt.
They got their asses whooped defensively by Texas A&M. Joe, like that to me is the Max Johnson did play in that game.
You've literally seen Max Johnson beat teams and keep Bama, like almost beat Bama, 2 years ago.
It's Max Johnson. And it was a dog shit Texas A&M team last year that was directionless.
Joe, you can't look at a place like Ole Miss and him climb up the way that he has and say that I'm going to pick out the three worst games and not pick the other eight.
Again, I am not.
It was not his fault against Alabama, right? Like, it was not his fault. They still won those.
No, they played a good defense
against Texas A&M. Joe, when Jimbo was on his final straw, his final string, it was Pete Golding that handed him the dagger. Go back and watch that game in the fourth quarter. I mean, there's got to be something to be said, Joe, when you're constantly in the hundreds with a head coach and you come in and climb up as much as he did. Joe, they were in the 120s under Lane at times. 120s. And then he had to go and completely change the personnel by going in the portal. Why do you think Walter Nolan and all those dudes want to go play for him? Yes, money is one. You think that they're the only school offering them money?
No, I mean, he's a fantastic recruiter.
He is going to legitimately put on the field arguably the best defense that Ole Miss has ever seen, ever. And he's been there, by the way, just throwing this out there, he's been there for 14 months. When he got there, he couldn't go into the portal and do everything he needed to do to get the personnel there. Ohio State is a different place where Jim Knowles already had talent and can go get talent instantly. I mean, Joe, look what he did with Caleb Downs. I mean, like, Ohio State is a completely different brand and situation than Ole Miss. If he gets in the top 25 of total defense at Ole Miss – it's different for them being in the top 10 at Ohio State because of the personnel that you can get there.
I don't want to retread on an argument, but I'm just going to take one shot and then quickly move on. But you're trying to take away from Phil Parker for being productive.
He doesn't have the personnel, okay, and it's going to wind up biting him in the ass.
I find it concerning, though, and I am becoming a bit of an EPA fiend, that they were 52nd last year in EPA, defensive EPA. And that is an indicator of defensive success against more explosive offenses.
Where were they the year before? I get you. I bet you they were in the 110s.
I can't pull up the year before on this website that I'm using.
Can I tell you something?
What?
EPA per play can take a massive dump.
No. That is one of the few. That stat to me is far more important than just defense, like total defense. Because total defense is not a – total defense is just yards per game.
Yards and not giving up a play. Total defense calculates –
that's not what EPA is, though. EPA isn't yards per play. It's expected – okay, whatever. We're not doing analytics 101 here. I wanted to talk about Glenn Schumann.
I got an issue with you.
All right, pull mine up.
How in the Rudy Poo do you have De'Anton Lynn at 3? So you're sitting here arguing
with
Pete Golding, and you got put De'Anton Lynn at 3.
Dude, and this is really ironic because USC fans, if you're watching this, I don't like you. I'm sorry. I'm a Notre Dame fan. We've already established this. But I really like De'Anton Lynn. I really, really like him as a defensive coordinator. I think he should have been the UCLA head coach. We talked about this with the offensive coordinators, and we've kind of alluded to it today, but doing less or doing more with less is really important to me. But I also just look across the board.
What did you just say about Pete Golding?
Wait, stop it with that for a second. UCLA. But that's it's nothing to do with this. Actually, it has a lot to do with this. There was less defensive talent, arguably, at UCLA. Their best player was a guy who had to medically retire from football. Leie Tulatu had to medically retire from football, and he was one of the best defensive ends in the country.
They had a really good season, UCLA, defensively.
They would have been well below 500 if it was not for their defense. And
are we doing a poll of best defensive coordinators, or who had the better defenses? Who was the better DCs last year?
Better defensive coordinators. He has proven to me.
Justify it 3?
Yes, I completely justify it. The way that UCLA took a they only won games because of their defense, a number of games because of their defense. They completely annihilated and took away some opposing offenses. Like Pete Golding didn't have many games unless they were playing Vanderbilt where an opposing team's offense could not score. That just didn't happen.
Alabama.
They still scored 24 points on them and they lost. UCLA had multiple games where they had a shitload of sacks, a shitload of tackles for loss.
You're missing what I'm saying. Who was USC's toughest team that they played?
UCLA, you mean?
UCLA. Who's the toughest team they played last year?
I would argue playing the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in Caleb Williams is a pretty tough matchup. The Pac-12 had, I don't remember their schedule off the top of my head.
You mean and the bust now known as Caleb Williams?
They still played a Pac-12 schedule last year in a year where it was one of their most competitive seasons. They only gave up 7 points to Utah. They gave up.
Oh, because Utah is the attitude of offense.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Last year,
they gave up 16 points to Colorado. They needed a
pick six, okay, to win that game, but if you remember. I'm adding on to you.
Okay. They held Caleb Williams and USC to 20 points. There were a number of games last year where they completely removed opposing teams' offenses that are supposed to have elite football players. There's one guy that's going to go in the first round. And the rest of that group, they're all late-round picks that have declared for the draft. Like, there's not really much premier talent.
Oh, they stopped the pig farmer for getting more than 7 points. Joe, I can't put him up there right now, even if I like him a lot. Because I don't think I can constitute one good year, all right, and say, okay, he had a really good year. Let's put him in the top five of guys that have been DCs for multiple years and have done it more than he has. I don't think it's fair to – I mean, I forget who you put – I put on there and you didn't. It's not
– It was Glenn Schumann.
Joe,
wait, I want to wait to talk. I want to wait to talk about
him. How in the Rudy Poo can you put De'Anton Lynn above Glenn Schumann?
Okay, this is a take that I think you're going to
– Oh,
this is God. Wait. This actually isn't a take. This isn't even a take. This is legitimately like a question. He was a co-DC. So, like, I just don't know.
He's calling all of the plays. And you know that.
Why does he still have the co-DC title?
Why he does.
We're obviously not in the coaching room, and we don't really know the full dynamic of the coaching staff. I'm not, like,
Ian Lanning had co-DC with Glenn Schumann.
I'm not saying that it is detracting from his ranking and his placement for me. That's not what I'm saying.
You don't even have him on there.
Let me finish what I'm trying to say. All I am bringing this up is it's a legitimate question is like, should we consider somebody that's not listed as a full-time defensive coordinator?
Hell yeah, he's calling plays and you know that.
But why is he listed as a co-DC? Like, that's what's like bothering me. It feels weird that like I'm picking a guy that's...
Joe Brady was a co-OC in 2019. Did you take anything away from him?
No, I didn't. But why was he listed as a co-OC?
Because titles don't mean shit. They're giving T-Rob a co-DC title for a pay bump and for recruiting. And you know that. Glenn Schumann is calling the defenses. And by the way, you have the Oregon head coach who had a co-DC with him. Literally Glenn Schumann at Georgia. It's just how Kirby sets it up. I don't know what to tell you here.
This is less of me trying to put up a fight with you. All I'm saying is like I put him right at six because he is not listed as the sole defensive coordinator. Oh, as the sole defensive coordinator.
One reason.
Can I finish? Would you agree that Georgia's coaching staff has an unbelievably ridiculous, deep support system, specifically on the defensive side of the football? Would you not agree with that?
You legitimately came in this show months ago and said we should consider Glenn Schumann as the next Alabama head coach because he's from there.
No, we were talking about unexpected names.
But you threw it in there. So,
because we were listing unexpected, unlikely names. That was the point of the... Don't pull me out of context like that.
Oh, that's not out of context, and you know it's not out of context.
We literally listed, okay, who were some random people that could, like, out of nowhere that we were like, holy shit, how did this guy...
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
We also didn't name Kalen DeBoer. So we're both fucking wrong.
Excuse me.
You named Kalen DeBoer for Michigan. You didn't name him when we talked about the Alabama shit.
I said he'd be on the move.
Okay. All I'm trying to say is, though, I don't think it's wrong to put a guy at six. Okay? Because
when
he is.
And Lynn there, it is. It's in all seriousness, because we're kind of just playing around here. In all seriousness, it's horrible to have De'Anton Lynn at three above Glenn Schumann. Joe is the defensive coordinator and call plays when they won back-to-back national titles. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but he's got a way better support system and coaching staff around him than De'Anton Lynn has.
I could give a fuck. Because you know who also had a great personnel around him when he was at Alabama? Kirby Smart did. And look what he's doing. All I'm saying here to you is...
I'm not taking away from him.
Okay, but all I'm saying to you here is this. You can't take away because he's recruiting at a high level, that he's with a head coach that recruits at a high level, and that they have dominating players. You have to look at what he's doing. Joe, arguably the best two defenses that we've seen in the last decade are because of Glenn Schumann's been the DC. He's an elite recruiter. He's an elite play caller. and he gets the dudes. You can't take that away from him. You can't say, well, Phil Parker doesn't have anybody, and he's just so great. But then when a guy goes and recruits elite-level talent, has arguably the best defense that we've seen, some would make the argument in the 2000s that you can say, oh, well, it's the support staff around him. It's worse for him because he's under such a high microscope. If Iowa loses a game, if UCLA loses a game and you make a wrong call, quite honestly, nobody in the country gives a fuck if Phil Parker makes a wrong call or De'Anton Lynn is. There is no way in human hell that you can put De'Anton Lynn over one good year when a guy has more national titles as a DC than De'Anton Lynn legitimately has at years as a DC in general.
He was the only reason why UCLA was kept alive last year when Chip Kelly completely fucking mailed it in, just like completely, you know, gave up and stopped.
But I asked you earlier, is this the top DCs in the country or is it about last year? You cannot.
The top DCs in the country.
Okay.
They led every statistical category. They led like every defensive
statistical
category.
Georgia led every statistical category almost in the country. I don't want to hear that shit.
You're acting like I'm putting him at like 20. I have him at 6 because he's on a really great coaching staff.
Let's take everything away from Kirby Smart when he was the DC at Alabama because Nick gave him a good supporting staff.
But those are not related. That's not related.
You have a coach that won back-to-back national titles. Please, dear God, tell me how that's not related.
How long was Kirby Smart the defensive coordinator at Alabama?
A decade.
How long is Glenn Schumann? He's 34 years old. How long has he been the defensive coordinator?
He's been the co-DC, I think, 4 or 5 years. The last 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, he's been calling plays.
God forbid I'd rather rank a guy who managed to lead the country in a number of important statistical categories, was the only reason why their team won games with mediocre talent compared to somebody who was successful, and I'm not taking away their success, but had 5 stars and an incredibly deep roster, and also a head coach who is a brilliant defensive mind and was one of the better defensive coordinators in the past decade or 2 decades in college football, and then also has a co-title and is sharing some responsibilities, whatever we want to name them or not, with other members of the staff.
Joe, earlier you said that my take was the worst you'd ever heard.
No.
I love you with everything in my heart, but I'm sorry. I've never heard a worse take.
It's not a bad take.
He's calling the plays.
I'm not taking that away from him, and I didn't argue that he's not calling the plays.
Oh, okay, so he is the DC. He is the guy that – he still has the DC title. So he's a play caller, and he's got the title of DC, does he not?
He does.
He was the DC for back-to-back national titles. Joe, again, De'Anton Lynn, with all due respect to De'Anton Lynn, he has no business whatsoever remotely on this list right now.
Okay, wait.
You know what I'm going to do when USC is ass next year? You know what I'm going to say, right?
What?
That you can't – how could you put him there over Glenn Schumann?
They're not going to be defensively. They're not going to be ass. If they have problems, it's going to be because of Miller Moss. I mean, you put blind faith into Miller Moss after one football game, but you won't put faith in De'Anton Lynn.
Hold on, say that again now.
You put faith in Miller Moss after one football game, but you don't want to put faith in De'Anton
Lynn. Yeah, because they have offensive personnel, Joe.
De'Anton Lynn took a Prius on the highway and was going 120 miles an hour, and Glenn Schumann had a Ferrari, and of course he's going to beat the Prius. Like, of course he's going to get further than the Prius. But the fact that they were neck and neck and not far off from one another is an accomplishment.
You forgot about Glenn Schumann on your list, and now you're fighting.
I read your list when I put mine together. You texted me at 10 a.m. I put mine together at 3 p.m. And he was on my list last year.
Okay, I don't have a defense there. Okay, you got me. I don't have a defense on that one. Joe, let's be real. He's got to be in there. Can I be honest with you? Here's the truth. If I put Glenn Schumann at 1, I could still make the debate. I mean, how
to each their own.
No, you know what happens is that we have a play caller, and when you have a coach like Kirby, and I mean have a head coach like Kirby, and this ironically, Joe, this is funny, and it's history repeating itself. Joe, because Kirby Smart was a DC against Nick, he got passed over because he had never been a head coach. The same thing, Joe, I could make the argument damn near the same thing is happening to Glenn Schumann.
I don't disagree that Glenn Schumann is a good defensive coordinator.
Are you gonna, let me ask you this question. Knowing what you know now, would you keep Kirby Smart off this list ever?
No, because he was at Alabama a very long time, and he was a defensive coordinator for a very long time.
No, the first time that he was a coordinator was with Nick at Bama. And he didn't get full responsibility until Nick gave him full responsibility about 5 years in.
Okay, but I don't think it's wrong to prop up somebody who is in a much more difficult position to like. It's like you have two interns coming into a company, and one intern's dad works at the company and went to Harvard, and the other one, you know, went to a state school.
How are you comparing this to nepotism?
I'm not comparing it to okay, forget the dad thing. One kid went to Harvard and he, you know, he's got a long list of experiences, and the other one just coming from a state school, but the kid from the state school outperforms the one with all the research.
How can you tell, Joe? Are you legitimately going to sit here and tell me that Georgia defensively?
Did you have any expectation that UCLA was going to be as good as they were this past year defensively? Did you have any expectation that they were going to do it?
No, I did not.
No one had that expectation. Did you have an expectation?
Did you have an expectation that in 20 years of football that Glenn Schumann would lead arguably the best defense maybe ever?
I mean, he's coaching at Georgia, and Kirby Smart trusted. We're going to just keep. We're talking in circles.
I'm going to end this argument for you right here. You ready? You better keep that same exact energy for Brian Kelly, because if Brian Kelly took less at Notre Dame to that spot, and now that he's at LSU and is continuously building, maybe Notre Dame doesn't have the personnel, because we were talking about Mike Denbrock the other day too. Y'all don't have the weapons. Anyway, all right, anything else on this DC thing?
I want to quickly bring up, I have on here Adam Fuller.
Disagree.
Okay, so you agree that Adam Fuller is a good defensive coordinator.
I just don't disagree with the pick. You can put Blake Baker in there for me. You could put in Adam Fuller. I could give to Rudy Poos.
Wait, so you and I just yelled at each other about how D'Anton Lynn has 1 year of production, but like, what did Blake Baker do the year?
He was also the DC at Miami with Manny Diaz. The last year that they won 9 games at Miami. And if I'm not mistaken, they ended with like a top 20 defense.
I just don't think that there is like, there's not much more evidence.
That year that he did that, that was the year that they almost beat Clemson, who by the way, got to a playoff. Oh, and by the way, the last 2 years in Missouri, you want to talk about winning games? Can I use your own logic against you?
Sure.
You know before the season, you're going to be different because you do draft stuff. Did you remotely know anybody on that Missouri defense?
Yes.
The fuck you did.
I did. I knew who Darius Robinson was. I knew who
Darius
Tyron
Robinson
Hopper.
Ran a 4.740 at the combine.
Go look at my tweets. I posted tweets in July.
When I said put Fuller there, I don't care. But he took an auto mechanic and made him a defensive end, and he almost led the conference in sacks.
We should hit the break and talk about Devin Brown. Jeez.
You didn't
want to listen to me earlier. You're like, whoa, I think our lists are pretty, we're going to agree.
No, you came in saying a bunch of craziness.
I felt the energy coming into the show. I knew that there was going to be tension, but you didn't want to trust me. That's why the show's great.
It's a quick break. Let's talk about our good friends over at Homefield Apparel. Devin Brown is going to be the QB1 at Ohio State. We do that next.
Ruffino and Joe Show is brought to you by Homefield Apparel, which is the best, without a doubt, premium collegiate apparel brand that is out there. They have over 150 different colleges that you can choose from, whether you're an Illinois fan or a Rutgers fan, maybe you're an LSU fan like Blake, or maybe you're an Alabama fan, whatever it is, even Idaho. They have so many different designs for so many different football programs that I can guarantee you're going to find some great stuff to help root for your favorite team. I've already gotten my Notre Dame stuff. Blake has his LSU stuff. Make sure you head on over to homefieldapparel.com to check out your team's collection of clothing apparel that they have on the website. And when you do so, when you check out, make sure you use promo code RuffinoJoe to get 15% off your order. That is RuffinoJoe, RuffinoJoe. Head on over to homefieldapparel.com and get your college gear today.
All right, let's get to it, Joe. Devin Brown, the Ohio State quarterback, who actually earlier in the offseason had some very interesting words when he was asked about why he didn't go into the portal. He said that he was not a quitter. You have been really on this topic. I give you a lot of credit for it. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you think about Devin Brown potentially being a riser this spring at quarterback?
Yeah, this caught my attention when Chimdi Chekwa, who does the Ohio State podcast on Believe, had tweeted about it. And I dug a little deeper, read a couple articles that I could find. There's a couple clips that have been out there. As you mentioned earlier, like, we're not on the Ohio State beat. We're not at the Ohio State practices. I don't know how really have, I don't have any sourcing on the coaching staff to really know where this is going, but it seems like when Devin Brown wasn't considered to be a good enough of a passer and was considered to just be an athlete, that he was never going to really have much of a shot of getting onto the field. And right. It seems like that there's this speculation and discussion that he has taken a huge step forward as a passer. That's what's caught my attention. He, I said, when they hired Chip Kelly, is the better fit to run what he likes to run offensively.
Fair.
Devin Brown. I just find it interesting that he made these comments at the time that he did, that he's not going to be a quitter, that he's going to stay. I don't think that's going to stick. I think,
do you think that Ryan Day told it, said something to him, and that's why he said that?
As in, told him he still has a shot?
Well, here's the first thought I had. Yes. This is the first thought I had when you sent this to me. Okay, when he had the comments about, I'm not a quitter, and do you think that maybe that Will Howard might just be a backup piece and Devin Brown might be the guy that they're trying to develop and get ready for the season? Meaning that,
yeah,
look, Devin Brown has a lot. This is what I mean. Devin Brown has a lot of risk for being the day one, game one starter. Because we've seen him in the bowl game. He didn't do great. And if he goes out there game one as a starter and doesn't do good, you have Will Howard behind him where you don't fall flat on your face and somebody that can be competent in this offense. This is what I think happened, okay, now that things are unraveling here. I think they did tell Devin Brown that they're going to give him the shot because he's been there. But I think that they're going to make Will Howard beat him out. He hasn't done that clearly yet here. And I do believe that Devin Brown, who, by the way, has the worst quarterback number in the face of the planet in the history of football, I do think, Joe, that they're hedging their bets. Let the best man win. By the way, he's not going to be the best quarterback on that roster next year. It's probably going to be Aaron Nolan or Julian Sayin, whoever wins that out, okay? So I'll just say this. I think that they're hedging their bet that they're going to give Devin Brown the shot here this spring, but if they don't feel like he's ready enough, Will Howard's going to step up into that role and take it over, and they got a good, experienced quarterback that can take it over. That is the – how do I want to say this? I feel like that is the what am I trying to say here? That's the last option for them. They give it to Devin Brown, see if he can do it. If he can't, we got a very serviceable quarterback that can win it for us here.
I feel like what's going to end up getting in the way is that they've already made promises to Will Howard. You know, you make a commitment to a guy like this and you attract him to come to your program. I would sincerely doubt that they spoke to him with the intention of like, yeah, you'll get to compete to start. Otherwise, he might be at USC right now competing with Miller Moss. I just look at their dynamic and assume that, Will Howard will end up starting. I really hope, though, that if Devin Brown is doing as well as he is, and if mid-tier SEC Big Ten programs that need a quarterback are seeing this happening, that he would be smart enough to take an opportunity elsewhere. That's kind of my take on it. Don't waste your talent. Don't waste your time. I know that you want to be a part of the program and you don't want to be a quitter, was what he said. I'm trying to think of like who would be a program that would need somebody like him.
Well, let me tell you let me get to my thought here too on one final thing. This is what I told you earlier in the show, and I will repeat it. I don't buy shit coming out of fall camps or spring camps, rarely ever.
Well, it's like rumor season with the NFL draft. Take advantage of the fact that there's buzz around your name and go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's fine. But I'm talking about for me and you. For me and you to project about the season, I'm not buying it. Because, Joe, there comes a – let's call it what it is. We've seen this kid multiple times, and you and I both know how bad he looked. If what they're saying is true, you're talking about, Joe, quite honestly, a Burrow-type leap. The guy behind me. Yeah, Joe.
Wait.
You realize how bad, okay, that he was. A Burrow leap, man. Joe wasn't even remotely close.
I don't want to use that phrasing.
Okay. Let me not use that.
Just phrase. A big leap forward. Just like a huge step forward.
Okay, well, I mean, what would you call it? Would you call it a Jaden Daniels leap? Like, who was bad the year before and then came back up and did something?
Well, I mean, it's unprecedented.
I got one for you. You're going to hate it, but it will work. Is it a Stetson Bennett leap?
I just think it's unprecedented because he wasn't even on. He was so bad he couldn't get on the field.
That's my point. So, again, we're talking about a massive leap that would have had to have happened here, Joe, in less than a month and a half. We're not even 90 days, or we're about 90 days in to the last time that they played a game, right? And so you mean in the last 90 days he became Joe Montana on the spot? He's so good, his name's Joe Montana, okay? Like, that movie gets me every time. Joe Montana. My only point is here, I call a little bit of bullshit. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I know. I understand. I mean, that's why I said it earlier that like we have to take everything with a grain of salt that's coming out of camp. I find it interesting that there's buzz for him. And I would argue that it's in his best interest, if there is buzz, to take advantage of it. Like him sticking at Ohio State, if they're making him compete, is just... It's silly, and I don't know who off the top of my head, like right Julian now.
Julian Sain's going to wind up winning that thing. If they really opened it up, Julian Sain would win it.
I mean, I find it interesting that you hyped up the Will Howard edition, and then now.
No, I'm talking about like if I think regardless of what Will Howard does, he'll play. Can I tell you, Joe, why go and get him?
Why go and get Julian Sain?
No, why go and get Will Howard? I mean, that's the massive question.
Well, they wanted an experienced just okay. player in the room.
No, you and I both know why they went after Will Howard. What is it?
Because of Kyle McCord.
And because Devin Brown stomped.
This is the whole point of me bringing it up, though, is that like now all of a sudden, if he's competitive, what does that do to the room? What does that do to the situation? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like where would make sense for him that he could go to.
If Devin Brown left, can I tell you what would have to happen? Because I think they got to go on a natty run here. They would have to go into the portal and grab an older quarterback, regardless of how good he is or not.
Yeah, I mean, you want to have depth. You can't turn over. Well, it's not about depth.
They got enough depth there. They got to go get some experience. If Julian Say and Aaron Nolan is your second quarterback, and your aspirations are to win a national title, Trevor Lawrence does not come around every year, buddy.
Sure. Yeah.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, Julian Sain could have a meteoric rise. Where remember, Trevor Lawrence did not start the whole year. He was six games before he got his first start.
Right. Well, I just don't know if Julian Sain's on that same level just yet. Well, okay, wait, here's a really good example.
How about this?
Wait. If Devin Brown looks as good as he does, would he not start at Auburn?
Oh, fuck.
That's a good fit. That's a great fit for Hugh Freeze. Peyton Thorne stunk. And I haven't heard a goddamn thing about it.
Devin Brown was worse. Here's a question about Peyton Thorne. We got 30 seconds. Why would Hugh Freeze stay with him why would he stay with him?
They tried to go get everybody and they couldn't. They got beat out for Cam Ward.
Yeah, they got from Liberty, I'll admit. All right.
Awesome.
We'll see y'all on Sunday. Horrible show, Joe. You made me emotionally hurt.
It's almost season time, baby.
All right. I'm just joking, guys. He didn't. We'll see y'all on Sunday. Y'all have a good one. Peace.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.